Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
In love, sageless, the winner never comes. In love, sageless, the mothers milk their young. But I can keep running, no, oh, I can keep running.
We're back at the races, hour two. About 10 minutes in, Nick Tamaro is going to join us, and I want to mention as Nick comes on, I've got to get this in a few times today and then next week. The college day next Friday, a week from today, of course, at Keeneland, and we're getting close to opening, and the college day with the annual scholarship awards, and there's going to be the usual amount of the 10 $1,000 awards. However, there's also the $10,000 scholarship offer that is made possible by Run Happy and Mattress Mac. And you want to get your college age self to the Keeneland website, keeneland.com/CSD and College Scholarship Day. There's going to be one special $1,000 scholarship for a member of a son or daughter, member of the industry, and one $10,000 scholarship for a member, a son and daughter of members of the industry. So we will keep you apprised of this, and we're also going to get on a couple of recipients next week of Keeneland College Scholarship Days. Looking forward to it. I'll be in California, but it's always a great and festive day, and you just hope that the weather's nice so the college kids can particularly enjoy the big Friday at Keeneland. Nick Tamaro's enjoyed a few Fridays at Keeneland. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. You would have been a good college scholarship candidate for the Keeneland College Scholarship Day.
Maybe only to the School of Hard Knocks.
But a bump.
No, I would have enjoyed it. My parents would have enjoyed it probably quite a bit more as well, having gone to a private university. But that's great. Yeah, I'm glad to hear Mattress Mac, who obviously knows how to market himself very well, but is also an extremely charitable man, has always been a very active giver here in the Houston area. And you will be hard-pressed to find people in the greater Houston area say anything negative about Mattress Mac. He's a very, very popular man here, so... good to see him doing that, and nice to see him get a pretty surprising win last week at Aqueduct in the stake race, winning the, I believe it was the Cicada, with the Workaholic, who surprised 36-1. Definitely a term that Mattress Mac used to describe himself, given that he is still very active and on the floor at Gallery Furniture on a daily basis, creating relationships with people and enhancing their buying experience, and probably should write a book or two about how he's done that and how he built that business into something really, really special. So glad to hear it, and I'm actually looking forward to listening to you talk to some of the people who've received these scholarships in the past. And more importantly, most importantly, I'm ready for Keeneland.
Now, and are you'll go for the contest?
I will indeed. I will be there for Makers 46 and the contest, 3 days in total, and looking forward to being in the bluegrass a few times in the next few weeks.
Nice. Well, you mentioned the upset by Workaholic, and it helped precipitate and tied into the $100 winner on Sunday into this carryover this afternoon. And races 4 through 9, $123,000 carryover. Figure there'll be at least another $400,000 or $500,000 into that. And then the Naira Betts pick 5 carryover, $46,000, and that'll get at least another probably $500,000 as well. And Nick, do you have it? Have you? I've written it up, and I'm curious if you've got any special horse that you know is going to be on your ticket for this thing today.
And it's very difficult.
It was tough. Tough to tie down.
It is the entry in the seventh race and analyze the odds look like a combo where if you're using both of them, you probably should be able to find your way through that leg. The eighth is, I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards Don't Rush, who broke her maiden on debut at Gulfstream and now comes up, was in for 50 on debut and now faces the starter allowance field. And, you know, horses that Todd Fletcher sent up from Gulfstream this time of year are a little bit more of a mixed bag. They're not certainly better than what they're facing. And Avelina was a very impressive debut winner for Danny Gargan, who's having a huge meet. I actually thought Davy Lovey on the class drop was a little interesting, too. She's going to have to turn things around quite a bit more. But that was a race where it felt like it needed to be a little bit deeper. I think a large percentage of the action in both the pick five and the pick six are going to end with Jack Bow, who goes first off a claim for Brad Cox, coming back off a bit of a layoff. And I think the main reason is it looks as if Jack Bow has a pace advantage in this field. It just doesn't seem like you should think it's that easy. Mr. Muy Bien on the inside.
Yeah, that's why I picked. Yep.
And Awesome Adversary took a big step forward last time, close to a relatively fast pace at this level. Actually drops just a tad being in for 25. And Cool Boy's taken a big drop from 50 to 30.
Yeah.
Didn't run in necessarily the toughest 50 last time, but those would probably be the kind of horses you'd want to have on your ticket, at least in some capacity. So it is not one where I think you'll get out of really any leg too easily. I think a lot of people will be pretty bullish on Dr. Burt in the sixth, who set a fast pace last time before getting tiring a little bit,
yep,
but did improve from debut to second start. I know Never Felt Better will also get some amount of action there. So it's a fun exercise. You've got Mike Tenizzo running to Lost Dancer on a big class drop, but also in that field, I thought Amanda Lane was interesting. So you don't really have that. I guess what I'm trying to say in so many words is that you don't really have that one horse in this sequence where you're like, okay, well, if so-and-so wins, then, you know, the majority of people are going to be alive and everybody will have a chance to hit this thing. It just doesn't really shape up like that.
No, true enough. And there's tricky horses and price horses. I mean, if it wasn't a carryover day, there'd be a bunch of horses you'd be keying off of. And if you don't want to risk carryover sequence money, there's plenty of fun horses to play with on this card today, including Exceed the Goal in the fourth and Amanda Lane in the fifth. There's more too. I actually figure it out in the feature, I think is a scary player in there. And you mentioned Mr. Muy Bien, who I'm also I also picked. And I'll give you another one in the seventh. I thought the seventh was the trickiest race. And Play That Funny Music has got a race three back that can win this, and it might sit perfectly third, right behind Wrong Ben and Blue Belt. And if one or the other, if Blue Belt or Wrong Ben don't make the lead, or if something, you know, if they botch the break, that gives Play That Funny Music, you know, one less horse to have to pass. I like Play That Funny Music in there.
I don't disagree, and one of the things about the two favorites is that there's not necessarily a whole ton of speed amongst them. And so you've got to deal with that, and Play That Funny Music is probably a good cutback candidate, even though he wasn't successful. Two back, that was against much, much tougher competition. So there are some things there to like. Wrong Ben, who you mentioned, is more than likely the speed of the speed. I could see Blue Belt getting asked for some speed out of the gate, too. Maybe that'll set things up. But, yeah, there's no doubt that Play That Funny Music could find himself getting the jump on some of the late runners, and that might be all he needs to make a dent in there. It's that kind of sequence. It's the going to the 3 days has helped quite a bit. We've had a number, even though the fields may not all be huge, you're getting some better competitive racing, and that'll certainly spice this up, I think, as the numbers in both of these carryovers will be pretty big.
Well, and then next week, of course, Wood Memorial looming, and so is turf racing, potentially, if the weather continues to cooperate. So we'll look forward to that, and that'll really spice up the cards as we hit spring. Let's go into the Saturday action, which is one of these Claiming Crown-style days that brought together some really good bulky fields, 9, 11, 10, and 12 in the late pick four. You got, you know, these days are, they're always worth the exercise. I've been focused on Gulfstream being down here, but run through a sequence for people here, Nick.
Yeah, fun slate of races. You'll see quite a few horses coming in from elsewhere, and that is probably the most significant thing. That certainly added some size to these fields. The seventh race, I'm just going to run through the pick four races, and
sure,
then we'll write this up tomorrow with some actual numbers. Seventh race looks like an event where you'll have some speed. Wildcat Bell on the inside is pretty much a one-way front-running type. Whether that'll set the table for the off-the-pace types, I think it'll really be the decision you have to make. No Deal's been in great form and looks like the horse to beat to me. I trust that horse just a little bit more than Hayfield, who, granted, didn't have a whole lot to go her way last time, wasn't a whole lot of pace in front of her, didn't get out of the gate that cleanly. So I think we'll have to hope that Hayfield bounces back to some of her races from before. Clairvoyant Lady is an interesting horse to me, and Linda Rice probably claimed this mare looking at a race like this. She took her back in mid-January when she didn't really run very well. She was 4-5 and finished a distant second to Akinetta. But this looked like a claim with a lot of intent. Linda's been very, very good off the claim. I thought Clairvoyant Lady was a horse that not only does she love Aqueduct, but she's versatile, doesn't have to be on the lead, can sit just off of it, and should be able to deal with what, if you see Wildcat Bell sneak away and Auxiliating on the outside doesn't offer a whole great deal of speed going a sprint distance instead of these routes, I think that the Clairvoyant Lady can find herself in a really comfortable position. The More to Tell at a mile is one of the headliners on the card. You've got a big, solid field. I thought, in terms of prices, No Distortion was an interesting horse. He came back 6 weeks after getting claimed off of Mertkan Kantamachi, who, if you're not familiar with him, has done some great work with the cheaper claimers and is leading the under-20 claiming challenge by a mile. Was claimed by Bob Dunham and came back and ran a good third in a tough field behind Reed Cannon and Win With Pride. Didn't get a whole lot of pace to run at that day. Feels like he's going to get significantly more pace to run at. But, I mean, you run through this race, it is just one contender after another. Potomac looks like he's going to get some pace to run at. Hall Anchor is going to be much more effective at a mile than he was at a mile and an eighth. Not sure if things are going to set up that great for him pace-wise. But you've got Candy Promises, who also didn't get any pace to run at last time for Dave Duggan, second off the layoff. His race in May at Belmont, I mean, I know it's pretty far removed now given the layoff, but if he runs that race, he will win this thing very easily. And on the outside, you have Fiery Opal for Antonio Arriaga, who faced much tougher competition last time in the Haynes field, now gets to a spot that looks pretty cozy from a class perspective. So you can find yourself going pretty deep in there. Claudio Gonzalez has sent up seemingly a barn full for these races, and Dynamax Prime looks like one of his main contenders in the mile of 3/8. Very interesting mile of 3/8 stud muffin, a horse who we certainly saw do some great things in the claiming ranks in New York over the years. Dynamax Prime was taken for 12.5, immediately came back and won a starter handicap race, fits this condition and this distance like a glove. Seems like the kind of one-run, off-the-pace type that'll be able to adjust to any pace scenario. And it does look like there's going to be a little bit of pace in here. You don't think it's going to boil over at a mile and 3/8, but Divine Dental figures to go to the lead. I think you'll also see some amount of speed from Robert, stretching out to two turns. Harry Hernandez, relatively aggressive jockey. Broadway Bay has positional speed. And with an elongated run to the first turn, I think you're going to see more horses forwardly placed than you might initially think. Shalako was a good third in the Bernardini, and those horses were much tougher than what he meets in here, so you're going to have to use him. And it's just that kind of race. I mean, we've run through five contenders here, not even mention Colonel Juan, who is another one that looks like getting back to a dry track with the weather conditions expected to be good, who could be dangerous from off the pace as well. And then the nightcap, the Kaisha Electronica, another claimer who did some great things in New York. You have American Power for Linda Rice, who ran extremely well last time, closing to narrowly missed to Nicodemus. And in addition to him, you have some speed horses on the outside that are going to set that table. So he figures to be making a big move from off of it. Still Crazy's back in the care, or is back with Rudy Rodriguez after doing some good things with Jason Service and winning last time out for Ray Handel. He's another one who's versatile enough to take back a little bit off of it. And then you have Mr. Dougie Fresh, who when he was claimed by Jason Service, I think we all knew he was going to probably take a big step forward, and he was in our much maligned very first Game Builder segment when he missed by a neck to Stony Bennett and then came back and just absolutely crushed a one other than Field. If he runs a race like that again, I think they're all in a great deal of trouble. So it's a really fun sequence. I'll get the A's, B's, and C's together and try and hit this pick four, but it's going to take a little bit of an investment, and the whole card, for that matter, looks like a lot of fun if you're looking for a very dirt-heavy alternative to the Gulfstream extravaganza that seemingly starts tonight and goes until tomorrow night, then you have it at Aqueduct.
Agreed. And on that topic, Nick, what's your Florida Derby opinion?
I think Hidden Scroll is going to win, and I think he's going to win by a comfortable margin. My opinion is that he should be put right on the lead. He's significantly faster than any of these horses. I've seen people tell me on social media that Maximum Security and Hard Bell might make that difficult on him. Hard Bell is not nearly fast, not fast really at all, not nearly as fast as a horse like Gladiator King, who pushed Hidden Scroll through those fast fractions last time. Maximum Security has absolutely no chance in this race, in my opinion. I don't know why anybody would use Maximum Security for a dollar. These kind of horses stretching out in distance for Jason Service have not nearly been as successful as a lot of the other types he's had. This horse has the look of a sprinter to me and has gotten away with some very, very slow paces in the past. I mean, it's going to take a colossal jump forward. So I think Hidden Scroll is going to win. I'm going to play him over some of the off-the-pace horses that might offer a little bit more value, mainly Harvey Wallbanger, who, if Hidden Scroll fights off all that other speed, I think it'll be quick enough to maybe allow a horse to slide into second. Bourbon War and Code of Honor, to me, are a little bit more difficult to judge because they did both benefit from huge setups last time. Code of Honor also from being inside. But I think you have to use them to a great extent underneath because they're going to be making up ground late. I just think this is a race that Hidden Scroll, if I was making a decision on how he was going to be ridden, he would look to dominate this thing from start to finish.
Yeah, I know that there's concern that would be problematic getting the Derby, although it's funny, I was talking to Andy yesterday, and I brought up that topic, and he said, "Well, who says he ends up not being the controlling speed in the Derby too?" I suppose you deal with the aftermath afterward. I mean, and you can still try to teach the horse, the ability or the interest in relaxing behind horses in case he's put into a position like that. I don't think you bypass a chance to win this grade one in this setting in anticipation of giving him, a rating lesson. I don't buy that. I agree that he should take control and just go on.
Well, exactly. And you know what? I guess what a fair sports analogy is if you were in the one-game wildcard playoff, would you rest your ace because you were worried about game one of the AL or NLDS?
Right.
And that's essentially what you'd be doing if you said, well, we can't really send him to the lead here because we're not sure if he can win the Derby like that. You have to get to the Derby first.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, you have to get there. And if this horse doesn't run second tomorrow, he's not going to be in the Derby. First of all, he's not going to have enough points. And second of all, those connections are never going to run a horse, even if by some fluke we had a great amount of attrition and a horse could get in with whatever number of points he would have. They still wouldn't do it. It's not their style. You know, this is a horse that has a lot of talent without question and could be a major player at the end of the year. You have to use what's your biggest weapon. And that horse's biggest weapon is speed. And he drew the one post position from which that speed is an absolute premium. I mean, it is the most important thing he has, being on the inside. Javier Castellano has made a career out of putting fast horses in the right positions. And to me, this is a horse that you're putting on the lead, and you're going to see how far he can take them, how much pressure he takes early, and how much he can still have in the tank when they turn for home. And then on Sunday, you start worrying about the Derby.
I appreciate it, Nick. And we will talk next week with the opening of Keeneland and Bluegrass Weekend, fall at the New York action as well, and Wood Memorial Day, and rehash whatever went on today. Get me those A, B's, and C's, and we'll do a game builder for those that want to play some New York. There's going to be a great day of racing tomorrow. Dubai, you ready for a Dubai morning?
Always ready to rock and roll. Not sure who I like in the World Cup, but I do think Thunder Snow will run a much better race. I think he was a little, probably needed the race last time. I do think that both he and Capizano were on the more favorable inside portion of that racetrack that day, and he's drawn pretty wide tomorrow. So keep a good eye on that racetrack during the day. It has a tendency to get very inside biased. Especially on, it's generally inside bias, but on the bigger nights, it definitely has. So if it's looking like the inside speed is holding the way the Sheik's horses have been running, then just bet on Capizano to do it again.
I appreciate it, Nick, and we'll talk next week. Nick Tamaro, everybody, and Tam, NTAMM, 1215. Back after this, we're 90 minutes in, 90 to come, and Rick Hammerly joining us next, Ed DeRosa. Then we'll go out to California for Tom Quigley, James Scully, and Mike Welch in the next half of At the Races Weekend Preview. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
California,
We're back at the races.
25 minutes to the top of the hour. Coming back off a visit with Nick and a very funny exchange. A listener saying, gosh, Nick talks fast. He does. He kind of bangs him home. But he had to be done by like 10:30. So that was part of it. That's why Nick was trying to make sure he got it all in. So Rick Haberle standing by, and Hammer yesterday attended the CHRB meeting. Jay Privman with direct and pointed response to yesterday. And Hammer, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Yeah, Nick did talk. I went out in the other room to get an apple. I came back with a commercial already. I said, whoa, he must have wrapped up quick. He'd be good on those new drug commercials where they spend 30 seconds telling what the drug does and then the other 30 seconds what the side effects could be.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Suicide, diarrhea. Oh, yeah, I might get hit by a car. Boom. So he's got a... He might want to call Pfizer or something.
That's a good idea.
Anyway, pretty crazy. Hey, real quick before, I know we got a lot of stuff. I want to do something real quick, kind of like a public service announcement. I got some real good friends in Nebraska, and I've been talking to them. And for those of you that don't know, things happen in the middle of this country that we don't hear about so much. But Nebraska, and especially, is under a huge floods,
right?
Rain, floods, blizzard. I mean, to the point of 65 of the 93 counties are a disaster area, and they've lost over a million cattle. And it's just a lot of stuff going on there. And you know, those people out there that in the heartland, they're tough, and they do a lot of stuff, and they're proud, and they don't like to ask for help. But I just want to give out a couple of websites that people, if they feel they want to, you know, give something that where they can. I tell you to go to YouTube and just type in Nebraska floods, and there's some footage of some drone shots over the state that just blow your mind. So I wanted to give out a couple of websites real quick. NebraskaCattlemen.org, just the way it sounds, NebraskaCattlemen.org. And one more site is the Nebraska Farm Bureau, and it's NEFB, like Nebraska football, NEFB.org. And I was just on Nebraska Cattlemen. Very simple. You can pay with PayPal. It took me 10 seconds. And anyway, just check it out. And I wanted to throw that out there because, you know, sometimes if it doesn't happen in California, New York, you don't hear about it. But this is a bigger deal than I ever thought until I was brought attention to me. So I wanted to do that. So,
nice.
Okay. So... yeah, I've got so many notes in front of me, I don't know where to start. You know, yesterday was on the start, on a positive note here, today they're racing at Santa Anita. They're going to have a three-day weekend. They've drawn the entries for today, Friday, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. And it came out pretty good, which, you know, it should have after not racing for a month. So a couple of good cards. So that's a good thing. Yesterday was the CHRB meeting. Showed up there, but you know the meeting was going to start at 9:30, and so the room was about three quarters full, and then the board came out and said they do a little private thing and they'll be back in 45 minutes. So at 10:15, when they reconvened, the room was full, and full, I mean, 300 people, 250, 300 people. The seats were full, and there was standing around the sidelines a lot of TV cameras, and someone mentioned that as they're looking around at who was all there, it was kind of like the last episode of Seinfeld. In a sense that, you know, anybody who did a cameo in Seinfeld was on that show. And I mean, there were people from all over. Terry Meeks was there. Frable was there. You know, I'm an ex-employee. I showed up. Lebow. I mean, jocks, agents, bloodstock agents, employees, agents. I mean, it was a mix of everybody kind of there to see what was going on. But what was interesting for me in those situations, there wasn't a lot of tension in the air between, and lots of times I thought this was going to be a little bit more of a, I wouldn't want to use the word combative situation, and you could kind of tell by just watching the groups around the room that they had already had their battles, if you want to call them, behind the scenes. And it seemed like as we went through the numbered items on the agenda that was skipped along rather quickly. So a lot of this stuff was done in the back room, and some arguments were allowed to be said on certain things, but I don't think they held much water because what was going to happen was going to happen. Jay correctly stated that, not a whole lot of time was spent on the racetrack and maybe, the 22 horses that died and the reasons for and the reasons why it's not going to happen again. And I got such mixed feelings sitting there listening and watching. And, California puts their meetings on full display for the world to hear, and that might sound great, but sometimes we've all listened to them, and you just said, "I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're arguing about this stuff in the public, and everyone's hearing it and listening to that." So, on one hand, it was good that there was a lot of battling back and forth, and name calling and fighting. It was rather orderly the way it was done, regardless of how you felt like how it came out. So. I'm glad that the whole world, we were sharing our dirty laundry in front of the world. Sometimes that's a good thing. But before we get down to some of the particulars, we went through the thing with the whip. The Jockey Club made some, the Jockeys Guild got up and made some fine arguments that were more just wordplay. I don't think they were taken into consideration. I think that decision was already made. They ran through the drug thing, and I found it odd that they didn't even take time to list the drugs that they were, eliminating or holding back on. They just kind of went through with that. And then at the end of the meeting, and we'll go back later and talk about some individual stuff, but at the end of the meeting, it was almost when we walked out in the hall and kind of looked at each other like, what just happened? What's going on? And there was some confusion. So what I was able to believe determine is, as far as the whip situation is, that they, as far as tomorrow goes, everything's going to be the same, and the same meaning they can use the crop three times to get the horse to respond and take a little break, and if he doesn't, they can wait a period of time and go back. That rule's been in order here for a while, and it seems to have been well taken and seems to have handled the situation fine. So that will continue, but what was passed was a situation where the whip will be able to be carried by the rider, but only to be used in a safety situation. And the horse is not to be struck for the purpose of encouraging him down the lane, so to speak. That was passed, but it has to go through what they call a 45-day waiting period, talking period, which gives groups the chance to send in arguments, papers, studies to the board, which they will look at. And then after that 45-day period, which usually means 2 months, two meetings later, which is 60 days, they meet every month, they will sit down with this thing and they'll vote on it. And so when that happens, that will be in effect, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer than that. But the one thing I think they did at the end of that motion was they're not going to disqualify the horse,
right?
If the rider hits, but they're going to put all the onus on the rider. That if he decides, in a $1 million race, and say, coming down the lane, he wants to do what he's got to do to get to the winner's circle. They're gonna pay the purse, and they're gonna pay the bettors, and then they're gonna find the rider, take his fee away, and do what they got to do. So they're planning on just leaving everything up to the rider, which it's a little. It's a little disconcerting how, and I got to watch what I say, but yeah, what Jay was saying, how the whole thing got deflected over to this whip and, and the medication, and, Dennis Moore was there to say what he needed to say. He was never called on, but, they went through the items rather orderly, and I think, like I said, at the end of the meeting, it was like, now what just happened here? What can we do? What can't we do? And even to this, until earlier this morning, I've had a few phone calls just to discuss that. So, you know, that's where we stand. And you know what? At this point, with the month of gone without racing and this other stuff thrown at, it's really, you're going to have to sit back a week or two and see what some of the stakeholders think, the owners, the trainers, the jocks, and of course the bettors, the only source of revenue that we have, how they're going to react to Santa Anita and California Racing if some of these things do go through.
Well, the first order of business is running a race card today, tomorrow, Sunday, getting a sense of I don't know if normalcy is ever going to be applied again, but at least everybody that has been held here basically captive, including the one group that has been nobody's paid any mind to, are the employees of the racetrack.
Yeah.
That no one has mentioned or thought of, that have, you know, basically had no source of revenue themselves, for the most part. I imagine, the care of horses is one thing, and some of the security portion that during training hours, etc. And then there's all the wait staff and the food service staff and on and on and on. These people have had no source of income, and I don't think anybody's talked about them.
They haven't. We've discussed. You and I have discussed this at length. And the number of people that horse racing employs is just you could list 50 different. Ways that people earn, and there's another 50 that you don't even know about. And these are the people that are hurting. And so on the other side of the coin, which with the meeting there, I believe that the horsemen's group and other groups, you know what? At this point, do what you got to do. It is more important to get back on the track to get back on the track today than some of the issues that were on the table. They couldn't take a chance of something happened in that meeting where racing did not continue today, because that would have been it. With everybody holding out and waiting and being loyal to Santa Anita and being loyal to racing in California. A couple horses have trickled out of town, perfectly understandable. Some stake horses, a lounge horse that needed to run. By and large, the California racing community has stuck together. They've waited this thing out, and pretty resilient group. And racing needed to happen today, and it needed to happen this weekend. It needs to happen, every 4 days for the next 3 months to get some continuity back and some confidence back. And, a lot of people here, I'm moving, I'm doing this, I'm not going to bet on anymore. Well, you know what? We've heard, talk is cheap, and it really is when it comes down to actually picking up and moving. We've all done it. It's not something you just do. As far as the wagering goes, the public will let them know if they have confidence in the product and confidence that, coming down to the wire that they're getting a fair shot of their horse to win. Over another horse, and if they do, they'll continue betting, and if not, then we'll see what happens. But you hit it when you talked earlier, Steve, the importance of running today is it, and it there can't be any more breaks. It has to go on through, or then we're definitely in uncharted waters.
Well, on that front, let's not much more that we can do about the conversation on the backstory. Let's look ahead and some thoughts, because you got two grade ones, and I don't think people have really had much of a focus on it. And the Kilroe and the Beholder tomorrow.
Yeah, so there's a couple of rescheduling. I'm glad that they decided to you know, go with some quality and not. And I think they realized over there that you know, some of the cheaper stuff's not working, and they need to step it up a little bit. So I'm glad they did decide to bring the steaks back, or most of them, and try and card them. Those, it's very important for those people to, you know, have a spot to run. As far as the racing goes, you know, take today to check it out. I think you'll see the track a little, maybe a tad slower than normal. The turf course obviously hasn't been on, worked on in a month. Haven't really had any rain, significant rain here in any time, so it's going to be firm. I wouldn't be surprised to see some of the horses closer to the lead do a little better, but keep your eye on that. So the Kill Row is the first of the stakes tomorrow. Only drew six with some of the uncertainty. Some horses went out of town, ran here and there. Decent six. You got Catapult in there, probably the most recently accomplished horse off the Eddie Reed, the Del Mar Mile. Just got nailed in the Breeders' Cup and ran a good race in the Pegasus deal. So he comes back to a mile. He's never won at Santa Anita. Kind of got good late in his career, but he's doing all right. Next Shares, I know, is basically on a van headed for Keeneland, and they announced this race was going to move, so he stayed here. Not the most consistent sort, but has probably won the most money in the last year. And then Riverboyne, who we talked about when he ran this first time against Olders, and it is a little bit of a step up. It was a small field. He got himself into a little bit of a jam here and there. I think that race really did a lot for him. I think Riverboyne is headed in the right direction and you know, might be one of the best milers we have out here in California. I think he's got a chance to show himself. So he looks pretty good in there, Riverboyne. We got the San Carlos. Once again, you know, a couple sprinters out of town because they had to do what they had to do. The 7/8 distance is always an intriguing distance, handicapping wise, because you got them going both ways. Axeman from the Baffert stable looks like he's going to be pretty consistent here. But you know what? I'm looking at the other Baffert, which I think is going to get hidden in there. Dr. Door, who's been going long and, is a sprinter at heart. His last time he ran 6.5, he won. It's been going along, whether this is a prep for something, I don't know. But I think 7/8 hits this horse right in the head. It's 5/8 at Santa Anita. Tyler Bays comes back into town to ride. I think this one might get a decent price on him. So I'm looking at, in a kind of a goofball type of field, I'm looking for the other Baffert, Dr. Door, to make some noise in there. The Santa Ana, quickly, mile and a quarter on the turf. This used to be a mile and eighth. When I was there, I made it about a quarter. We're straight trying to lengthen things out. There's not a whole lot of stars in here to look at, but future stars, as we say. Jack Carava doesn't get a whole lot of stake horses in his barn. When he does, he sure knows what to do with them. So the Athena, the Irish bred mare towards the outside, ran a credible race going a mile. Going to stretch out here, but I there's not a whole lot here, and he's going to be at or near the lead. She is. I could see her making some noise in here, and we got one more, don't we? What other race? Oh yeah, excuse me. The Beholder Mile. I thought that was Sunday, but the Beholder Mile. Now we moved this race again earlier in the year as it's just trying to find a place for it, and decided maybe a little bit earlier as a prep for some of the races down the road, like the Apple Blossom. Would work, and it was kind of a goofball year. It's hard to tell, but you got Marley's Freedom in there, Grade One winner, Paradise Woods, who knows what you're gonna get. You know, when you're good, you're very good, but when you're bad, you're very bad, and that's Paradise Woods in a nutshell. Not sure if she's back on her good side. Selcourt, I don't know, just hasn't put it together since last year. And Marley Freedom, who's just done everything right, she showed she can go the mile, at least the one turn mile there in Aqueduct. So she's going to be tough to beat, but maybe Selkirk can turn the pages here. But, you know, good racing on Sunday. Saturday. I didn't print out Sunday because you just got too much going on. We're talking about the Florida Derby earlier. I think it's not, I don't want to compare Hidden Scroll to Justify, but there are some similarities in the late start and, you know, the fanfare. It did get beat. But you're talking about setting up for this race. I agree with you guys 100%. You know what? Do what Justify did in the Santa Anita Derby. Just go win the race. You're not looking for beauty points here. Nothing matters except crossing that line first. And Justified just went out in front and said, see you later. And everybody goes, oh, wasn't that impressive? Well, you know what? They needed points. That's how impressive it was. And I think Hidden Scroll is just in that same area where he just needs to go out and win. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be anything. They can worry about that later. So I'm anxious. Really, you know, it's one of the horses leading up to the Derby that, you know, I'm really anxious to see. We got Mott in there, and you mentioned earlier Mandela. And so I'd like to see this horse roll on. The beauty of Code of Honor is he doesn't have to win. I mean, he's going to, you know, Shug doesn't need to tighten the screws. Done it. He's in there. He's got his place in the starting gate. He's going to run good, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to win. He doesn't, you know, he's going to run a decent race. As long as he's moving in the right direction down the stretch, I think they'll be happy. So, you know, I'm going to be interested to watch Hidden Scroll and see what he does with this field. Bourbon War probably has something to say with it, but interesting stuff there. And Maydan, a couple of our horses. I mean, Stormy Liberal, like, how can you not pass up a wager on him if he's going to be even close to that morning line? 7 to 1, I think they have him in the paper. And in the big race, not a whole lot, but you know what? When it comes right down to it, I'll follow wherever Mike Smith goes in these type of situations. He's riding Seeking the Soul for Dallas Stewart, kind of quietly snuck over there. The horse ran sneaky good in the Pegasus. Always seems to fire. Dallas does a great job with his horses, and he really knows how to handle a good one. And I look for Seeking the Soul to make some noise over there in the desert.
Get that same kind of buzz watching the draw and hearing Dallas. And he and Gunavera. It's not either one of them.
Yeah.
Have acquitted themselves well.
We're waiting for Gunavera to fire a bullet here for a while. We're waiting for Gunavera for a while.
Yeah, you want to?
I'm done.
Well, you can't.
I'm done waiting on that one. You know, there's good people in there. And one other quick thing before I wanted to give you, I got to congratulate Brother Kruppi. And I heard John on, you sent me the tape of, or the recording of John Sakura busy yesterday, which I missed. Boy, that's something, that's one of those ones you need to put a star on. Go back and listen to John, Steve and John, actually more John than Steve, talk about, the horse that they went through the ring at 3.6 million, I believe it was, and that's an interesting story. But then another, half hour to 45 minutes of just what's going on in the industry. And John is, you know, one of these guys that knows a lot, been around, has a lot of good things to say in a positive way, and kind of hit a lot of things on the head as far as what's going on with the game now. And there's people that are, and I'm not going to say knock, but say stuff and don't have solutions. John provides some solutions also to some of the possible solutions to some of the situations going on now. So that was a great conversation, Steve, and I urge anyone that listens to the show to go back into the archives. It was just yesterday, wasn't it?
It was.
Yesterday morning?
Yeah, and there's links on my Facebook page and Twitter. And just go to stevebick.com to the archives, and it's right there. Hour one. It's an hour and 10 minutes. John, if you want to skip over my intro for the weekend, which was essentially not the weekend, but yesterday's show, it was essentially a sale, how exciting it was to be at the sale. John joins us at the 19-minute mark and talks about the sale and about the breeding of the Curlin colt. And then at the 41-minute mark is when I ask him how would he answer our critics. And he provides the most eloquent and thoughtful response that you can imagine. And he's one of those guys who, when you use the term smartest guy in the room, a lot of times it's derogatory. It's not derogatory in directed at him. He is invariably one of the people that is sought out by members of the industry for his counsel, and it's a rare privilege to bring John Secura, to the industry at large in that way, because his he's as insightful and as capable of helping the industry plot a course for the future as anyone anywhere.
Yeah, and wants to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because even though a certain member of the industry is oblivious to this, everyone's livelihood is tied. It's not this winter's handle numbers. It's everyone's future that is being rolled around like dice on high rollers. It's unbelievable the how oblivious.
Yeah, John points that out. It's a good listen. It's definitely a good listen. And I know the rest of your show will be good listening too. So
thanks, Hammer. I
carry
appreciate
on
it.
And appreciate being on. And don't forget our friends in Nebraska. And have a great weekend. And tune into Santa Anita. And as much as you do this, you just said this is our industry here. This is what we support. You might not like everything, but if there's ever time to step up and say, hey, you know what, let's roll. Things happen behind us. Yeah, like I said one time, the old Jack Reacher, don't look back. Don't worry about what happened. We're moving forward now. You can't change it. Support Santa Anita. Either if you're in town, show up. And if you're out of town, if the races are good, bet on them. We don't need any kind of internal boycotts or this or that. Things are moving along in a direction that maybe not are great for everybody. But like I said, the most important thing right now is that we're racing. And that racing continues, and as a game, we need to show our support. So that's it. Carry on and enjoy the basketball games this weekend, and we'll see you in a few days.
Yeah.
Get you set up at Clocker's Corner, and that'll be great. It'll be good to see you again, and that's it.
You'll be do some co-hosting too. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday.
We'll be right there. Right. We'll be right there.
Excellent.
Love it.
Thanks, Hammer. Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go on your Twitter machine. And away we go, probably maybe our last break of the morning, Case, actually, because we've got way too much to do. It includes Ed DeRosa and James Scully. I think we're going to have to graft the two of them together. And then Tom Quigley and Mike Welch. Hour 3 at the races, weekend preview, back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888. 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.